Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Live the Promise.
Welcome to Live the Promise. I'm Neil Stavem. So glad to be with you once again. We've had a great week filling in for Susie Larson. I know that you've appreciated her messages as you've been listening earlier this week and even today on your powerful prayers. But we've got a great hour coming up today, and we're going to talk about what happens when two families get joined together. We're going to talk about blended families today. That is a big, important issue. We're going to get to that in a moment, and I'm excited to introduce my guest. But I do want to mention, we just launched our Faith Radio Writers Contest, and it's a wonderful opportunity for you to just try out your abilities as a writer. God has gifted each of us with talents to use to further His kingdom. And if yours is writing, then I want to encourage you to join the Faith Radio Writers Contest. It's open to all aspiring authors, and it's your chance to receive a scholarship to the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference, which is really a significant deal because you actually get some one-on-one time with the acquisition editor. Go to myfaithradio.com/write. Find the information there. The Writers Contest is underway. All right, let me introduce my guest to you, and we'll get him on the show. Ron Deal is director of Family Life Blended. He's author of several books, including The Smart Step Family, The Smart Step Dad, and Dating in the Single Parent. Ron's a licensed marriage and family therapist, and of course, he's part of Family Life. And so we hear him regularly on with Bob and Dennis, and he and his wife Nan, and their sons live in Little Rock, Arkansas. And we are just honored to chat with Ron Deal, one of my good friends. Ron, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Neil. It is always good and an honor to be with you.
So, you know, we like to start the show, as Susie does every day, talking scripture. I'm wondering if maybe you have a life verse or if there's a scripture, I mean, that's been speaking to you these days. What would that be?
Oh, my goodness. You know, sometimes it's hard to choose.
Yes, understandable.
I find myself thinking an awful lot about the passages in the Bible about humility. I've gained some insight in the last few years, and part of it's because of some difficulty that my wife and I went through about a decade ago when we had to wrestle with some things that were not going well in our relationship. And what I discovered is that the dynamic around pride and how that actually makes relationships, pushes them apart, whereas humility is an attitude. You know, we talk about it, and sometimes you hear sermons about humility, but we always kind of talk about it in terms of our humility before God. But what 1 Peter 5:5 clues us in on is that whatever happens between us and God is also the same dynamic between us and our spouse. So God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, says 1 Peter 5:5. And by the way, at least a dozen other texts throughout the Bible say the very same thing. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself before God. The passage in 1 Peter then also says, humble yourself before one another, before others. Why? Because pride will create an opposition in them toward you, just like it does with God, whereas humility will create a grace in others toward you. And I've been trying to walk that out and cook that in my heart and mind now for over a decade. And I got to tell you, it is one of the most profound, fundamental teachings about relationships that I've ever come across. And I just find myself going back to it over and over. By the way, I'll just mention that this principle, how humility invites grace from others, is true in every relationship at every level of society. So if you have a boss who is a pride, arrogant person who, boy, he's got all the answers and he never needs anybody's help. If he does anything wrong, he's never going to admit it. And, you know, it's just one of those kinds of persons. Guess what happens throughout the organization? People oppose him. They don't like him. They don't want to work with him. They don't like his character. They don't stand behind him. They won't sacrifice on behalf of the agenda. But you have somebody in leadership who is humble about who they are and vulnerable with that, and admits to fault and lets other people take the credit when the credit is due to them. And that person, you find great loyalty within the organization. Lots of people have grace for their mistakes. It's okay. We're still on your side. That happens in business. That happens in marriage. That happens between parents and children. That happens in government when you have politicians who stand in arrogance. The entire – everybody underneath them generally rises up in opposition. It's amazing how that happens. But it's a very simple, powerful principle that is repeated in the Bible. And I just find myself reminding myself day in and day out, I got to stay humble before God and humble before my wife.
I was thinking, too, that I mean, you're a, you know, licensed marriage family therapist and a counselor, and I'm sure that's you see that at sort of the heart of so much of, you know, anyone that comes in your office or you have a conversation with, and I know in my own experience, and, you know, if I kind of, you know, get my pride hurt a little bit or I want to defend myself, I mean, that just, there's just no good that really comes out of that, is there?
Exactly. It's amazing how it just puts a block in a relationship. And, you know, I know we're talking about blended families today. It happens in blended families, too. You know, and so what is the thing? What are the things we get prideful about? Well, you know, there's lots of things. We can be prideful about, you know, my accomplishments or my ambition or, you know, what have you. But it can also be like in a conversation with a spouse or with a family member. When you take a posture that says, oh, I kind of know how this should go, but you don't. You're making mistakes. I'm not. I need to fix you. I need to help you see the error of your ways. That is a very prideful posture. For me, in my life, defensiveness is a pride mechanism. I don't want my wife thinking poorly of me, so I defend myself. And what's that about? Well, again, I want her to see me with admiration and think well of me, and I don't want her thinking, I don't want her being disappointed with me. And so I start arguing with her in the hopes that will make her like me more. Now, if that's not the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life, I don't know what is, but that's exactly what I end up doing. I try to argue her into liking me. Well, that's just going to make it worse, and it does make it worse. Why? My pride puts me in a place where I'm trying to change her. That creates an opposition in her, and the next thing you know, she's coming back at me with even more disappointment, not less. I'm just making it worse. That's what pride does.
Well, we're going to get to talking blended families, but you know, my wife and maybe many other wives are just thanking you, Ron, for taking some time to talk that through with me, because boy, we've all been there, no question about it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Good word.
We have. Yep.
Ron Deal with us today. He is the director of Family Life Blended. It's a wonderful ministry, and they have a very special event coming up tomorrow that we want to focus on. In fact, maybe we'll just say a minute about that before our first break. It's called Blended and Blessed. And, Ron, you've been working in this kind of blended ministry for a while, but this is kind of a unique opportunity. Talk about it.
Yeah, this is unique because the people listening to us right now can tune in tomorrow, and you don't have to go anywhere. The event is going to take place live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and if anybody happens to know anyone or live near there, you can spread the word, and they can actually physically join us. But it's going to be a live stream event, which means kind of like television. It's going out over the except it's going out over the internet instead of in a TV broadcast. But it's just as accessible as television. You can be anywhere in the world, literally, and open your mobile phone or your laptop, or we have churches that are gathering groups together and they're projecting it, you know, up on the screen. And you can participate in the day. It's an entire day of teaching, training, worship, fun, encouragement. We've even got an illusionist going to come and teach us a few things with some of his illusions. It's all aimed at helping blended families blend, helping them grow in their walk with each other and with the Lord. And so couples are going to be attending from blended families. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity. I'm telling people all the time, you can sit in your living room in your underwear if you want and be as comfortable as you want to be. And you can watch this thing on your mobile phone. And the cost to do that is $19. I mean, two people can't go to a movie for that. This is an entire day of teaching and training about healthy step family living. So we're excited about it. We did one last year for the very first time. And Family Life, we're doing it again this year, Saturday, April 21st. People can just go to blendedandblessed.com. You know, people ask, well, how do I do that? Well, it's really easy. I know it sounds hard, but it's not. Just go to blendedandblessed.com. The website tells you how to register. And like I said, it's instantaneous. So if you decide at the last minute tomorrow you got a little time and you want to just tune in for an hour, you can do that, and it'll happen immediately.
We're going to talk more and dive into some of the reasons why it's important to understand life in a blended family. We'll get to all that with Ron Deal, director of Family Life Blended, author of several books, including The Smart Step Family and the Dating in the Single Parent and more. And Ron is will be directing us more on Blended and Blessed. You can find out more at blendedandblessed.com. And you want to stick around for more Live the Promise with Ron Deal just ahead. Tuning in to Live the Promise. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Susie Larson this week, and honored to have on the line Ron Deal. Ron from Family Life Blended. It's a great ministry, part of the Family Life Outreach. He and his wife and family live in Little Rock, and he speaks around the country, and he's on with us on the early morning late show regularly, and we love having him on here on Live the Promise when he's available.
You're listening to some of the best conversations from earlier this week
on tomorrow, Blended and Blessed. It's a one-day live stream for couples in blended families. And the reality is that, we probably don't recognize it, that we may be connected to a blended family, even if we aren't in one. But give us a little statistical view of the blended family world in which we live.
Yeah, Neil, you actually said that very well, because a lot of times people say, well, I'm not part of a blended family, and they're thinking about the people in their immediate home, and many times that's how we define what a family is and who's a part of it and who's not. But if you think of generations, you know, it could be that you have an adult child who is a step-parent, or it could be that you have lots of people have a parent later in life who – maybe your parents had a 30-year marriage and your mother passed away, and now a couple years later, dad has decided he's going to marry again. Well, you know, guess what? You have a stepmom. That's what that means. And your children now have a step-grandmother. Like, and you've got to figure that out, because you got to go home and you want a relationship with dad and now his wife, and you got to do Thanksgiving and Christmas and grandparenting. All those dynamics are at play. And so when you look at it from a generational perspective, I have some new stats to share with you, Neil. We just learned in January a new study that came out that looked at the generations as I've described them, looked at people, kind of the sandwich generation. That's me. I'm 51 years old, and Nan and I have been married for over 32 years, and we each have parents that are living, and we each have we have adult children, right? And 52%, half of couples in the United States have a step relationship in that scenario. They either have a step parent or they have a step child. You know, that's stunning. Yeah. And when you broke the numbers down, when they said couples under the age of 55, the number went up to 62%. 62% of couples under the age of 55 have either a step parent or a step child somehow connected into their marriage relationship. You stop and you think about that for a minute, and we're talking about millions and millions of people. Our estimate is over 113 million Americans have a step relationship. That's a lot of people.
Wow.
And so Step Family Ministry is still very new to the church. You know, I've been doing this now for close to 25 years, but a lot of churches have never even thought about it. And so that's one reason we came up with Blended and Blessed, a live stream event. The, you know, your church can host this for a group of people, or, you know, at this point it may be a little late because it's happening tomorrow, but you can dial in on your mobile device and be a part of it. Even if your church doesn't have any awareness or knowledge, or there's nobody there who can do any teaching around matters related to blended families, you can be a part of this event. That's why we wanted to create Blended and Blessed. And last year we had people in all 50 states and 22 different foreign countries a part of the day. So we're excited and honored to be able to offer it again.
Ron, say more about it. In what ways are churches maybe missing the unique ministry needs of blended families? You know, we've got we got family ministries, we've got children's ministries, so we're covered, aren't we?
Yeah, well, and you would assume so. And for the most part, you know, there's a lot of things that churches are already doing that will also be a blessing to blended families. One of the illustrations I give of that is marriage ministry is very important. I don't care, you know, whether you're pre-married or in a first marriage or in a 10th marriage, you know, you still need to know how to communicate, resolve conflict, and, you know, make financial decisions and parenting decisions together. All of those things are true for all couples. However, there are a number of unique dynamics that go on in blended families that affect the marriage that don't happen in any other family situation. And honestly, the reason the divorce rate is so high in blended couple marriages is because of those unique dynamics. So while the marriage ministry at church is helpful, it's not sufficient. Another example that I would give is how pastors do premarital preparation. I mean, just think about it. Intuitively, we know it's different. If you're working with a couple who's 22 and 23 years of age that just graduated from college, and this young couple without any children are going to get married and they're going to start their life together, the kinds of things you would want to talk to them about in premarital counseling are going to be different than a couple who's 56 and 58. They've got four children between the two of them, two households, two financial plans. Each of them has gone through loss either by divorce or by the death of a spouse. So you have sadness on top of newness, on top of old relationships with new relationships, merging of family cultures, on it goes. And you still do your premarital counseling with that couple the way you do it with the 23 and 22-year-old? I don't think so, right? Those are two totally different marital circumstances. That's what we do, is help pastors and churches understand how to be relevant and how to specifically respond to that older couple about to get married. That's just one example, but that's the kind of thing that we do at Family Life Blended. Blended and Blessed is an opportunity for a church to usher in some good information into a step couple's relationship without the church having to understand anything about why it's important. We'll do all the teaching. You just help us make it available to people.
Well, Ron, let's say a bit more about that. Just the line kind of caught my attention, the sadness on top of newness. That's an area that we probably haven't really thought through, but all blended families come through some sort of loss, don't they?
That's true. Again, let's just continue the contrast. That 22 and 23-year-old couple, everybody would say, well, they're just beginning life. Yes, they have to leave father and mother, as scripture says, and cleave to one another. So there's definitely a transition taking place. They're starting their life as adults and growing up, and they're going to do that together. A couple that's later in life who's been through some things has to also do that, but they also have to manage sadness and the journey of loss that has occurred in their lives. Again, you can't underestimate the importance of grief on new relationships. What I mean by that is, let's imagine, you know, your mom passed away and you miss her. Well, now dad is marrying another woman and you like her. She's nice. She's good to your father. She seems like an honorable woman, but she's not your mom, right? So there's a part of you that is sad. At the same time, you're glad. It's a confusing place to be as a child. And that's true if you're 15 years old or 10 years old or 35 years old. It's still confusing. And that's what I mean by you have to merge both of those dynamics all at the same time. I'll give you another illustration. The couple getting married and forming a blended family are often highly motivated. I mean, they've fallen in love with this person, and of course they want to get married. They want to share their life together, and they hope that their children, all the kids involved, will also accept their marriage and be a blessing, and that they can get to know them and that they can be family, right? That's the whole point. Yeah. Well, their motivation is often much higher than the kids' motivation. Again, it varies. Some children are very motivated. They really want to make the family go. But there's other children who are like, yeah, you know, you're nice, but you're not my mom. And it's not that they're mean or that they're opposed to the new family. They just didn't want it. They didn't ask for it. It's not their need. It's my dad's need to get married that made this happen, not mine. Well, what that means is that kid just isn't excited about having a stepmother. Well, that creates a tension, a natural tension that dad has to deal with, stepmom has to deal with, and the child has to deal with. And how are we going to merge and become a family and become one family unit if we have those very different opinions about whether we should even be here? Yeah. Right? Those are the kinds of things that we help people understand, make sense of in our ministry, and help direct them through.
We've only got a couple minutes before we need to take a break, but I know you've talked before about this is not a microwave. This is a crock pot. Say more about that. This doesn't happen quickly.
Yeah, it doesn't. And again, the motivation of the adults is, well, I'm getting married to you and your kids and my kids, and we're all coming together, and I hope that we can be family. And we want this to happen quickly. And of course they do, because that's their goal and desire. And often there's a fantasy. Nobody really said it, but they just kind of assume it's going to take a few months and then everything will be fine. But the reality is it takes more like 5 to 7 years for the average blended family to actually become family and feel like family. And that's a crock pot. Boy, you know, crock pots don't cook fast. They cook slow. And that's the way most step families go. And so you have to learn how to be patient with the process. If I'm eager and I want this to happen in 2 months, but it doesn't, then I start getting angry. My eagerness turns into anger. And now I'm part of the problem. I'm angry that other people are not loving or accepting me or getting along with my kids. The stepchildren are not getting along with it. Whatever the case is, I'm angry about it. Well, that makes harder for people to like you when you're angry all the time, right? So learning how to dial down your expectations and say, we're going to take this a day at a time, and we're still cooking. That's the good news I tell people all the time. You're still cooking. I know it's not what you want, but understand the crock pot will get you there. But you got to trust the process.
We'll jump in more, and we'll talk about the process to be blended and blessed. There's a special live stream event going on tomorrow. We'll talk more about it with Ron Deal, Director of Family Life Blended, Ministry of Family Life, author of a number of books, and a voice of the Family Life Blended short radio feature you hear every day on Faith Radio. We're honored to have with us today on Live the Promise, and we'll continue in just a moment.
Don't you give up.
This is Love the Promise. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Susie Larson. Honored to have us as my guest today, Ron Deal. Ron, Director of Family Life Blended, the Ministry of Family Life. He's authored several books, including The Smart Step Family, The Smart Step Dad, Dating the Single Parent. In fact, he has a new release out, Daily Encouragement for the Smart Step Family. It's 365-day devotional for blended family couples. And we'll talk a bit about that before the end of the show. And we're referencing a special live stream event called Blended and Blessed. You can find out more on the website blendedandblessed.com, and it's something that you can be involved in. Now, there are a number of churches around our listening area that are hosting some of these, so you can go attend that, or you could just open up your tablet, connected device, and experience it that way. And we'll talk a bit more about that. But Ron, the issue of blending, I guess, is it unreasonable to think that blending will take place? Or should we just say, you know, it's her family, it's my family, and, you know, we'll just, it's not going to blend.
Well, no, I think it will blend. I think there's an optimism that, you know, people naturally have when they fall in love. And sometimes, you know, love is blind. But still, there's good reason for you to feel like that this family can come together. But the reason my books are almost all of them are have the word smart in the title is because I've become convinced that if you're not smart about how to go about it, you actually unravel your own dream. You actually make it harder for that to happen, not easier for it to happen. So as we talked a minute ago about, you know, the crockpot mentality. Well, a blender mentality is fast, quick. Now I should be angry when people are not cooperating with my vision for how we're going to come together. Well, that just undoes the process, makes it harder, not easier. But a crockpot mentality where you're patient, where you give people space, you let them warm up to you when they want to, as they want to, you try to pace with the step family members, that is a wisdom that really makes it actually easier. There's a thousand little points of wisdom like that we try to help people understand. And all of them add up to an easier adjustment into familyness.
So say a bit more about what, I mean, you know, there are thousands of ways, but to be smart, to say, well, you know, just we're allowing the, you know, the step kids or, you know, the others to just sort of come along at their pace. Or, I mean, do we ever get to, you know, make a decision, say, all right, this is, you know, we'll do Christmas the way you want this year, but next year it's going to be the way we want?
Yeah, well, that's a good illustration. Let's just go with that for a minute. Like, how do we do traditions? How do we merge those together? And, well, here's a little point of wisdom. There's no right answer. Every family is going to have to find their way through this. And what I tell people is it's a little bit like that old wedding thing, you know, something old, something new, something borrowed. I don't know, paint something blue, I guess. But old means, yeah, some of your traditions we want to carry forward. Some of our traditions we want to carry forward. Something new. We want to find and build something that is us, uniquely us. Now, that's always difficult because you can't always program that. Sometimes you have to just find it accidentally. And, oh, who knew we were going to eat ham and turkey at Thanksgiving and somehow everybody would be happy with that. We've never done that before, but, well, that's what we'll do from this point forward. And you found the something new, right? It becomes a marker that represents your new family usness. And you're excited about it in the beginning, but some of the kids are like, yeah, whatever, you know. But after 3 or 4 years of that, they are starting to get excited about it too, right? That's the crock pot coming into play. You can't force the ingredients to warm up and soften and share of themselves until they choose to. That's a hard reality for parents, but it's an important smart factor that really helps them do a better job.
And, you know, we address that these are issues whether the kids are you know, 15 or 35. Is it harder for adult kids in some ways to move into a blended family?
I don't know that it's harder. But I would say that's equally as difficult as it is for younger children. Now, sometimes the issues are different. You're not trying to tell a 30-year-old stepdaughter to pick up her socks and clean her room. I hope you're not. You know, that wouldn't be appropriate. She's an adult. But you are trying to define the boundaries around, you know, this house is not your mom's house anymore, and I moved her dishes out, and we're using my dishes now. Or, you know, we're not decorating the house at Christmas the way your mother did. We have a different style now. And so she's going, yeah, but it doesn't feel like it's home anymore. Well, it does. It's not. I mean, for you, in some ways, it's not home. Things have definitely changed. But how do we keep that from creating animosity between us, right? Those are the delicate issues. So a 30-year-old adult stepchild still has to figure out how this family fits. And what their role is and whether they're going to allow the new step-parent or step-siblings into their life and how much they're going to be friends with them or have a relationship with them, all of that's to be determined.
You know, I talked to someone just the other day who married a little bit later in life and married into step situation. Husband had a couple of several children, and a couple of them still in the home. And so it was just, you know, having done life on her own for a while, now, you know, moving into a spot where there's, you know, stuff strewn all over, and, you know, things get kind of messy and broken. And so, you know, those are kind of little irritations that get big sometimes. How do you deal with those, maybe those little irritations? This isn't the way I used to run my life.
Yeah, and you know, this is a good illustration of, again, the differences between a first marriage and maybe a stepfamily marriage. So in a first marriage, you know, maybe you have lived a few years on your own and you still now have to merge life and share space with another individual. You love each other, you got married, but you still have to figure out those little irritating moments, right, where you like to leave all your shoes out on the floor and I really wish you put them in the closet. Well, in a stepfamily, you have that dynamic plus kids who have lived 6, 8, 10, 15, 20 years, and they can put their shoes on the floor. That's the way we've always done it. And after, you know, mom and dad divorced, I can do that at dad's house. I can do that at mom's house. And now all of a sudden the rule is changing. And who are you? You're my step parent. You're telling me that this has got to be different. Wait a minute. And then the child goes to the parent, their biological parent, and gangs up against the step parent. And they, you know, they have a little powwow and they say, wait a minute, we like the shoes all over the floor. And step parent's going, I don't think I can live with this, right? Yes, those are minor irritations, but when they represent, do I belong? Am I important? I, as a step parent, do I really have a say? So they can be minor irritations that have big implications. And that's part of the journey of figuring out how we're going to manage the changes in the rules. One of the things I would want the couple to do in that situation is I would want them to talk a lot behind closed doors, come up with a plan. If they're going to change the expectation around where the shoes go, the biological parent better be a part of it, because, you know, the step parent probably is not going to be able to get that done without the bio parent's help. So we teach couples how to work together, come out with a position of unity and strength, and then implement the rule change in the home so you can help each other as because there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Neil. I mean, there will be. Children are going to whine and fuss. Yeah. That's what they do. And so, you know, but still you're a team. So yeah. That's another illustration of work together, be a team, and then make the changes.
I think you used the phrase, the words coupleness and familyness. Maybe just say a bit more about that. That's a good way to kind of maybe get our arms around this.
Yeah, those are two different things. I say to dating couples, like if one or both of you has children from a previous relationship and you're dating, it's not just about falling in love with a person. That's coupleness. You got to keep in the back of your mind that if this coupleness thing moves forward and you decide to marry, you have asked another whole nother question. That's how are we going to achieve familyness? And they're not the same. You know, couples fall in love all the time. Let me put it to you this way. A lot of people fall in love and form a blended family because they've fallen in love with a person. But a lot of couples in blended families divorce because they don't know how to be a family, right? Those are two different things. So you've got to be mindful of both and pay attention to both, even when you're dating, especially after the marriage, and work together to try to manage familyness as a team.
We're dealing with reality in our world today. Some over 50% of couples are facing this, even higher numbers. Maybe the younger you are, maybe not unexpected, but we need to be prepared for. And there's a special opportunity to be better equipped, better prepared, more encouraged, perhaps in your blended circumstance and situation. It's called Blended and Blessed, and it's a one-day live stream for couples. And it's going to be held in the Charlotte, North Carolina area tomorrow, if you are in that area. But you can join in. Churches are showing it on big screens, many around in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and we'll let you go to the website to find if there's a location near you. But this is something you can also do individually, as a couple, as a family. You can sign up and watch it on your connected device. And go to blendedandblessed.com. That's the website, blendedandblessed.com. And we're going to talk more about that and more about blended families and being blessed. We'll talk some issues about spiritual blessing and what happens if maybe the spouse isn't stepping up when it comes to relating to the ex. We'll get to all that in the moments ahead with Ron Deal, Director of Family Life Blended, joining us today on Live the Promise. And so honored to have Ron Deal with us today. I'm Neil Stabem, sitting in for Susie Larson, and we're talking about a unique event. This is, I think, the second year that they've done it. Ron is the director of Family Life Blended. It's a family life ministry, and he's authored a number of books that have the word smart in them, as we've talked a little bit about, and also will be leading the Blended and Blessed events coming up tomorrow, blendedandblessed.com. And Ron, we want to talk a little bit more about kind of what's going to be happening during that time, but say a word about when a spouse doesn't step up or maybe takes sides or there's an ex involved. I mean, that's a big challenge and a big hurt for the wife that married into this family. Talk about the spouse stepping up.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I find that there's some really insidious things that tear couples apart in blended families. One of them is the whole parenting and step-parenting issue. The other one is an ex-spouse. You know, we make jokes about the difficult mother-in-law. It's the same with a difficult ex-spouse. They have so much influence and impact on a new couple's relationship. For example, an ex-spouse can pick up the phone and make a phone call and change the blended family schedule for the weekend. They can change their finances. That person can change the mood of their, you know, if an ex-wife calls her ex-husband and really puts him in a bad mood, then the ex-husband has to come home and talk to his new wife and deal with his kids and her kids and puts the kids at odds with one another. Who she is as an ex or as a biological mother affects whether the stepmother can have a role in the kids' lives. There's just so many things that are tied to that person. And let's face it, you know, ex-spouses are not real motivated to be nice a lot of the time. And often they're ungodly. I may not even be a believer. And here you are trying to espouse a Christian lifestyle and worldview, and your ex doesn't. That unravels what you teach and train your children, right? You know, again, there's a lot there, and that person has an inordinate amount of power to influence your world and your family. It's tough. I tell couples, boy, you really have to come together and figure out how to deal with those dynamics. You can't let them divide you, because often it does, or at least it tries to. You know, work hard to come together and say, what are we going to do about this? And how are we going to respond when? And what are we going to do with the teaching that they have in the other home, the influence they have on the children in the other home? How do we respond? You don't ever make the other home the enemy, because they're not. But what you do realize is it's kind of like the world. It's kind of like sending your kids to school or sending them to college. They're going to have influences in their life that you don't get to control. But how do we help teach, train, prepare our children to deal with those things? That becomes a real reality for step-family couples.
You know, we as couples should be together, united in terms of our parenting style and all those things, but certainly we want to be on the same page spiritually. Say more about what that looks like in a blended family and maybe some ways that we can work toward that, because this is coming out of loss and brokenness. And so, you know, maybe our spiritual lives weren't what they should have been in the previous circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's really important that that you know what you believe and why you believe it. In particular, if there's going to be outside influences, like the other household, perhaps will have a different influence. And when that happens, you have to, I think, inoculate your kids against some of the things they're going to hear over there. You know, hey, look, here's why we choose not to watch R-rated movies in our home. And we want to explain to you what that's about and what we're after. And we're seeking godliness, and we want to put good things into our minds and set our minds on things above, not on things below, as the scripture says. But we recognize that, you know, when you go to the other home, they let you watch those movies. And sometimes they'd have it on, and you don't really have much of a choice, but it's just kind of on. What are you going to do when that happens? You know, how could you pursue godliness in that situation? Now, that's an awkward conversation, Neil.
Yeah.
Because you realize that your children are in the middle. They are stuck between, in that case, their mom and their dad, you know. And I love my mom, but she lets us watch movies that you don't care about. I love my dad, and he says we shouldn't. What am I going to do? That's a tough situation for a kid, but it's reality. And I think you handle that with a lot of grace as a parent, and yet you inoculate against the thinking or the worldview of the other home. It's delicate, but it's just preparing them for life.
You know, help us deal with maybe if we've come through a broken situation, a marriage is dissolved, maybe it wasn't from the death of a spouse, it was dissolved, and, you know, we wonder, you know, is there restoration? You know, can God, you know, renew me? I'm in this new relationship, but still feeling broken and defeated.
Oh, yeah. Well, I absolutely believe that. It's simply because that's the story of Scripture. I mean, the Old Testament families were messed up. Most of the people in the New Testament were pretty messed up, imperfect people, and yet God's redemptive work in their life is to change the meaning of their story. Now, here's what I mean by that. Like, I can't change my past, but I can change the story I tell about my past, right? God takes my life, wraps it into his world and his vision and what he's doing in the world. And all of a sudden, you know, hard times, difficult times now have a redemptive quality to them that I didn't have before. I think that's very true for blended families, and I would want them to know that. I would want church leaders to understand that because, you know, sometimes blended families do feel like they're marginalized when they go to church, as if somehow they were unworthy of God's grace. No, you know, that's not true of anybody. Right? Why would it be true of people just in a step family situation? You know, we need to make sure we extend that hand of grace to people just the way that our Lord did.
The live stream event is called Blended and Blessed, and I'm thinking that there's probably a part of this that it's not just to be blessed to experience God's grace and blessing in your life, but that you can be a blessing to others. How could maybe blended families that are working through some of these things really be a positive encouragement to others, because there are many others all around us?
Well, that's exactly right. And, of course, that can happen in a lot of ways. It can just be through a friend, personal relationship with somebody you know. You can be an influence to them. You might even invite somebody, a friend, to come join you for this live stream and hook up your laptop in your living room and watch it together and just be a part of it. Dialogue and talk about some of the things you hear. And that becomes a blessing to somebody's life. We've got churches all over the country, all over the world now, using our DVD series based on the Smart Step Family to teach and do small groups with couples. That's another way. Most of those are led by blended family couples, not by a trained pastor or a counselor or somebody like that, but just somebody who cares about other people. There's lots of things that people can do and be an influence on others. You know, one of the reasons we created, again, this live stream event is we're trying to make it easy for individual couples to learn and grow, but also for churches and Sunday school classes and whatnot to help other people. This is short notice if you're hearing about it today. The event is tomorrow, Saturday, April 21st. But who knows? Maybe God will give you an opportunity to influence somebody else. And here's another word I would add about this event. It is being taped. It is going to be available to people who registered for the event for a year beyond it. So if you even jump in for a little bit of time tomorrow, you're going to have access to the video for up to a year, all the video online. And so that's kind of a blessing through our all-access digital pass. After last year's event, we had lots of churches around the country, around the world actually, who turned that into a small group study. And they got couples together on Wednesday nights, and they sat down and watched one video at a time and made their own curriculum out of it. You know, we were excited to see that happen.
Yeah.
There's lots of creative things people can do.
Give us we don't want to miss our time opportunity just to say about the kinds of things that happen. So give us a sense of, you know, what the day's going to be like, the sessions, the speakers, those sorts of things.
Well, I'm looking forward to the magician because he's supposed to make somebody disappear off stage, and I hope it's not me. That's what I'm hoping. All right. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've got Steve and Misty Arterburn. A lot of people will recognize Steve Arterburn's name. He's the author of the Everman's Battle series of books that have been so influential in our culture. They're a blended family couple. They're going to be talking about their life and about bonus parenting, not being a step parent, as they say, but being a bonus parent. What does that look like? How do you do that? Bill Butterworth is a nationally known speaker. He too, part of a blended family. His wife passed away. They had five children together, and she died. And he married another woman, and she's been the mother to his five kids for over 20 years now. Really looking forward to him talking about how to have a healthy marriage in a blended family. Michelle Couchette, another nationally recognized speaker, Women of Faith speaker. She's going to be talking about her blended family experience and parenting hurting children. You know, that can be really difficult. Parenting and step-parenting when your kids are hurting because of something that has happened in the family, perhaps before the blended family started. And then Dr. Rick Rigsby, who is, I'm just thrilled, is going to be joining us. He's going to be talking about a heart that walks with God in the midst of step-family living. If you don't know Rick's name, he has a video that went viral on Facebook and YouTube, and is now close to 190 million views just since last October. He is a huge motivational speaker, and it's just I'm excited. He too lost his wife to cancer years and years ago. He and his wife Janet now have a blended family of four, and very excited to have them with us. I will be there throughout the day. We'll be talking about family culture and merging styles and how do you work with kids and parenting, step-parenting matters. And we also hope to have a lot of fun, and there'll be periods of worship throughout the day with Charity Helms, who will be leading that time of worship. So blendedandblessed.com, and we're bringing the training right to you. You don't have to go anywhere. We'd love for you to be there.
Oh, check it out, blendedandblessed.com. And it's a live stream event happening tomorrow, and would love for you to take advantage of this resource and grow in your understanding of what a family can be like as God designs and restores and renews and blends together. Ron Deals, Director of Family Life Blended, Ministry of Family Life, written several books like The Smart Step Family and The Smart Step Dad and The Smart Step Mom and Dating and the Single Parent, and the new release called The Daily Encouragement for the Smart Step Family, 365-Day Devotional for Blended Family Couples. Ron, just a minute or so left. Would you just take a minute and pray for those that families that are maybe there's a mom or dad or a child in a blended family that's just kind of struggling today and just needs some encouragement? Would you just pray for them?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Lord God, I know people in blended families, just like people in any family, have struggles. And life's not perfect. This side of heaven, it's just not. And so, God, we need your help. We need your encouragement. We need to feel your hug. And we need the strength to implement the words you have given us in Scripture to activate them in our lives. Would you help us understand what that is and what it looks like? And would you let humility be the thing in our hearts that allows us to be teachable, to be moldable and usable by you? Thank you for your grace. Thank you for providing for people who perhaps are struggling right now. And thank you for the rewards that people who have trusted you with a second chance and are discovering that you are a God who blesses, and they've begun to experience that. I thank you and I praise you for that on their behalf. Thank you for Neil and this great radio broadcast and ministry. We ask your blessings on them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Ron Deal from Family Life Blended, join us today. It's Live the Promise. Blessings to you, Ron. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, buddy. It's good to be with you.
And thank you for listening to Live the Promise. I'm so glad to have you tuned in. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our mobile-friendly website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.